Hi, my name is Izzy Broker. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and later moved to Staten Island, New York, where I lived for over 25 years. Staten Island, like a lot of communities in Chutz La'aretz, is a beautiful community with a lot of wonderful families and with a lot of wonderful Jewish institutions. But I was always haunted by the fact that here we are, living in a generation where we have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, which is equal to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And why am I not fulfilling that mitzvah and living in Galut? Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to be able to make Aliyah, and I'm very happy here. Because the bottom line is, no matter how nice a house you may have in Chutz La'aretz, no matter how wonderful a community you may have, you are living in Galut. And Eretz Yisrael is where our Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants us to live. To know that every step that you take is another mitzvah. To know that you are living in a place that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted with all his heart to be able to live, who pleaded so many times with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to let him live here, that is a feeling that simply cannot be duplicated living anywhere in Chutz La'aretz. I have always been haunted by the fact that because the Jews in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu listened to the Meraglim and despised the land that we were put into Galut, and I said to myself, what makes this generation, a generation which has an opportunity that so many other generations did not have, what makes this generation any better than the generation of the Meraglim? And it is because of this that I have decided to do whatever I can to pour my energies into promoting Aliyah. It is something that I sincerely hope everybody watching and listening will take to heart, will do some research on the topic, and consult with their own rabbi, consult with their family, and God willing, will come to a decision that this is the place that they and their family belong. I also believe that the way to rectify the sin of the Meraglim and to truly bring Mashiach is to make up for what they did and to move to Eretz Yisrael. Each one of you can do your part to rectify the sin of the Meraglim. Please, give it some serious thought. And I look forward to meeting and greeting every one of you when you come on a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight back home where you belong. Thank you.
The subject of Eretz Yisrael and of living there is one of the oldest topics in Jewish history. It begins even before Mamre Har Sinai, because Moshe is told that the Jewish people will be brought to the land of Israel. Avraham is told that his children will live there, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So it's with us from the beginning. It's, so to speak, God's signature issue. And yet, over the long history of the Jewish people, most of our history has been outside the land of Israel, not by choice, until our time. And because of that, the Jewish people developed a Golus mentality, a mentality of living amongst the nations of the world. And therefore, we find that, for instance, after the destruction of the first temple, when Ezra wants to return to the land of Israel and they receive permission from the Persian emperor to do so, then nobody comes. He's hard-pressed to put together 42,000 people. And those that come are not really the upper class. They're not the scholarly class. We read in the Talmud and Kedushin, Asara Yuchsin Olum Mebovel, 10 different types of people came. And they were all sorts of people, Mamzeri, Shtuki, Asufi, people of questionable pedigree, people of servitude. And Ezra has to create the second commonwealth out of this raw material. Ezra is a great man. The rabbis say if it were not for Moses, then Ezra could have given us the Torah. And he's able to do so with the Anshe Knesset Agdola. And the Jewish people embark again on the times of the Second Temple. But again, eventually the Temple is destroyed and the Jewish people are sent into exile. When they're sent into exile, then it becomes a matter of individual choice. And throughout the ages, there always were individual Jews that tried, many succeeded, in coming to the land of Israel. In the 19th century, both from Eastern Europe and from the Middle East itself, Jews made their way back to the land of Israel. And they made their way back in what then were considered substantial numbers. So that by 1846 here in Jerusalem, the Jews were the majority in the city. There were over 7,000 Jews here then. And that trend continued. So, on the other hand, there has always been difficulty coming to the land of Israel. I think the Lord, I can't speak for the Lord, but it's always been a test. And sometimes the test is easier, sometimes it's more difficult. So certainly to come here in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century is more difficult than to come in our century. Certainly we have the advantage of having a Jewish state. And the people many times don't understand what a Jewish state really means. I always say in Yiddish, it's a Yiddish leben. It's a Jewish life here. It's a Jewish life that cannot be matched anywhere in the exile. I was a rabbi in Muncie, which is a holy city. And, you know, I know Brooklyn very well, which also is a holy city. None of that compares to the Jewishness. And I'm not talking about religious observance per se. I'm talking about the feeling of being Jewish, which the land of Israel gives to people. And I think that that's the idea that the rabbis mentioned, that our teacher Moshe wanted to come to the land of Israel. So Rashi says, what did he want? He wanted to take a tour? He wanted to see Haifa? I mean, what did he want to come for? And Rashi points out he wanted to come because Eretz Yisrael provides you an opportunity to be more Jewish. And there are mitzvot here that cannot be accomplished anywhere else. And once you're here, you'll never look at an apple the same again. And that's an inner feeling that a Jew has to have. So I can sell you that you can have a beautiful apartment, which you can, and you can get a good job, which you can, and that you can have money, which you can, but that's not going to move you to Eretz Yisrael, because you can have all of that, you know, in the five towns. You don't have to come here. But the difference is that here you have a Jewish life, you're building a Jewish future, you think you're part of a great project. A project that eventually will result in the redemption of the Jewish people, in a restructuring of the Jewish people, of being a light unto the nations, of being a place where the world will come to see us. And I see it even now, you know, millions of non-Jews come to visit the land of Israel. The land of Israel, hundreds of thousands want to come here to live. I mean, why don't the people from Eritrea want to go to South Africa or somewhere else? Why are they coming here? Because all the words of the prophets were true. That nations will come to you. Because this is a great project. This is a historic project. And a person should feel, I think every Jew should feel, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to be an actor and not in the audience. my opportunity to build myself and my family in a Jewish way, which I could not and I cannot do no matter where I live in the diaspora. So that's my Aliyah speech. But I sincerely believe it. And I've experienced it myself. That there are people who come when they're young, before marriage. There are people who come after marriage. There are people who come with families. There are people like me who come later in life. But no matter what stage of life you're in, there's something here for you. And you should never hesitate to come. It should be on your radar screen. It should be somehow part of you that that's where I want to be. I want to be part of it. And the daughters of Slavchod said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lomo Nigora, how can it be that we should not have a share? Every Jew should say that to himself and herself. Lomo Nigora, how can it be that in such a time and under such circumstances, when, so to speak, the entire infrastructure is already present for me, that I shouldn't want, that I shouldn't be able to come, that I shouldn't see my way to try and come? So I thank you for listening to me, and I hope that you remember at least some of what I said. Thank you.
My name is Zev Lef. I'm the rabbi of Moshav Matit Yahu and the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Gedola Matit Yahu in the Modi'in region of Eretz Yisrael. Our sages relate that the root of the destruction of the temple and our exile amongst the nations was the sin of the spies. David HaMelech in Tehillim capsulizes that sin as Vayimoasu be'eretz chemda. They were disgusted with the coveted and precious land. It would stand to reason that when we appreciate that coveted precious land, that would be a reason to bring the final redemption closer. We live in a generation that Hashem Yisborach has given us the opportunity to be able to quite easily settle in Eretz Yisrael and fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And even though before Mashiach comes, it is not possible that the entire Jewish people en masse should come and settle in Eretz Yisrael, yet there still is a mitzvah for every individual who can to come and settle in Eretz Yisrael. So Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Chafetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish, the Ger Rebbe, and others. Whether one's personal circumstances permit him to fulfill this mitzvah, or say that he is exempt from fulfilling this mitzvah, this is a matter for investigation, deliberation, and guidance of a Torah authority. However, even if one is exempt from this mitzvah and cannot fulfill it physically, he should still appreciate Eretz Yisrael to a point where he feels lacking, that he has to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, and yearn for the day that he'll be able to fulfill this great mitzvah, to be able to settle in the land of Israel, which itself is a mitzvah, and be able to fulfill all those extra mitzvahs that are only possible in Eretz Yisrael, and to be able to live in the environment of God's holy land. The difference is that if one yearns and feels lacking, then when the circumstances present themselves that they are favorable for a person to be able to fulfill this mitzvah, he will jump at the occasion. But if he doesn't appreciate that he's missing anything, and he doesn't yearn to fulfill this mitzvah, then even when the circumstances are favorable, you will neglect to fulfill this mitzvah. May our appreciation of Eretz Yisrael and our desire to settle there and the actual fulfillment of settling there for those that are fortunate enough to do it, may it be a merit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see that we have corrected that age-old sin of being disgusted with the coveted and precious land, and merit the day when all Jews will come to Eretz Yisrael and fulfill that great mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael, living in our homeland, in God's holy land, and then we will not sit on the floor and mourn on Tisha B'Av, but rather we will celebrate it as a day of rejoicing soon in our days.
We find ourselves now during the period of the 3 weeks between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. This period of the year is one that is a time of reflection and introspection. They represent a period of suffering and pain for the Jewish people throughout all of history, beginning with the first Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, when Jews worshipped the golden calf and Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the luchos, to a Tisha B'Av, on which Jews committed the sin of the Meraglim and they refused to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbein Shem told them, Atem Bechisem, you cry, they cry for naught, and I will punish you with the crying of what will happen in history: destruction of the first temple, destruction of the second temple. Tisha B'Av became the Bechiyol Dorot, the period of crying for all generations. Our responsibility at this moment in Jewish history, our responsibility is to make sure never to repeat the mistakes that were made in the past. And therefore I believe that our focus has got to be on Tisha B'Av, on a fundamental principle of Torah, a pivotal mitzvah upon which all of Jewish history moves and centers. And that is, plain and simple, Rabbeisai, there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish said it clearly, one line sentence in one of his letters. He wrote, Mitzvat Eretz Yisrael Kfar Huchra'a. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has already been decided according to the Rambam and the Ramban, Ushar Poskim, and other deciders of Jewish law. And he ends that letter by saying, V'yodua, and it is known, Kamoshoaf HaChofetz Chaim La'alos Arza, how much the Chofetz Chaim wanted so badly to come to Eretz Israel. Clear statement of the Chazon Ish. I remember a personal statement that was made to me by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky when I spoke to him some 30 years ago, before I came on Aliyah. My family and I, Yetz Hashemah, going to celebrate this summer 30 years of living in Eretz Yisrael. Great milestone in our lives. And incidentally, thank God, all of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren were born here and live here. We made Aliyah 30 years ago. I had a long, fascinating conversation with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the statement that remains engraved on my mind, he said it in Yiddish, so I'll say it in Yiddish, and I'm going to translate it. Shalom sollst wissen, ich halt, as es a mitzvah hain zu weinen in Eretz Yisrael, wie es allemal geben. Shalom, I want you to know, I believe, that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today, as it always was. Und wolltech gekent, wolltech jetzt gegangen in the airport, a reif auf a Flugzeug und gefahren in Eretz Yisrael. And if I could, I would go to the airport now. I would go to the airport now, get onto a plane, and go to Eretz Yisrael. Ob ich kenn nicht, but I can't. Trust me, Rabbi Yaakov knew exactly why he can't, and it was certainly very legitimate. He told me this at a meeting I had with him. He was at the time, I was in West Hempstead, he was in Toronto. I went up to Toronto to speak to him, and this was November or December of 1981. Clear statement, mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm always fond of the story that's told about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He was this fellow from Chutz Aretz who calls Rav Shlomo Zalman and says he wants to see him. He has a halachic issue to discuss with him. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, of course, come. Meanwhile, this fellow who had been spending a number of months with a chavrusa, going through all of the sources in Rishonim and Achronim, Rambam, Ramban, Avnei Nezer, Yeshuas Malko, or anything you want about the mitzvah of Yeshua Yisrael. Is it the Yachaisa? Is it the Rabbanan? Is it biblical? Is it rabbinic? Is there no mitzvah? Is it possibly an Avera to go to Eretz Yisrael? He had studied it all. And one day he comes, finally the great day comes, he comes there, it's a sort of, I just imagine him coming into that little street where Rav Shlomo Zalman used to live with this long stretch limousine, and he takes a look at the steps going up to Rav Shlomo Zalman's apartment. He comes up there, and he begins his discussion, and he starts telling Rav Shlomo Zalman, Shitas Rishonim and Achronim, and a few moments into his talk, Rav Shlomo Zalman stops him and says, Sinisht Wichtig. It's not important. A man is stunned, doesn't understand what Rav Shlomo Zalman has in mind. So he just keeps going and presenting his case. A few minutes later, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his very inimitable, edler, delicate way, says to him, Sinisht Wichtig. It's not important. Man is stunned, he doesn't know what. So he says, Was meint der Roshiva? What does Roshiva mean? It's not important. He says, all of the talk about the mitzvah is unimportant. Just open up a chumash and on every page you will see Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that his children should live in Eretz Israel. Makes no difference. Rabbinic. Biblical. Doesn't make any difference. That's what God wants. There was a time, I admit, that I was slightly upset with Rav Moshe's psak, the famous psak of Rav Moshe that is quoted by people, and I think they don't understand his psak. Rav Moshe said that it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's not an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, so it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. If you come on Aliyah, you live here, you fulfill a mitzvah. And it has been said a number of times in a language as though it's not an obligatory mitzvah, it's only an optional mitzvah. By the way, Rav Heschel Shechter in Panini Arava, the first page, brings precisely the same psak halacha from Rav Soloveitchik. And one day, I finally understood Rav Moshe's psak. The greatness of Rav Moshe's psak is that an American Jew, anybody living in the free world, has the ability to fill and listen to Ritzon Hashem and do God's will without any coercion whatsoever. There isn't even a mitzvah to coerce me. I can, in the fullness of my own personality, make a decision that I'm going to go live in Eretz Yisrael. That opportunity is afforded to all of us by virtue of that psak of Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik. There's no chiyuv, you know? You don't have to come. But Rabbi Yisrael Rabbein Shem says, that's where I want you to be. Po eshev ki evitiha. God wants Eretz Yisrael, and he wants his children there. And that's the challenge. The challenge in Tav Shin Ayin Bet, at this moment in history, the challenge to world Jewry not yet living in Eretz Yisrael is to make the decision that they're going to come. The great miracle of the ingathering of the exiles that we've seen before our very eyes, what has taken place in this country, it's unbelievable what has taken place. You have to stop and think about the awesome and dramatic, divinely orchestrated change in the condition of the Jewish people. From the ashes of Auschwitz to becoming a powerful state. We're not poor cousins anymore to our friends in the United States of America. We're not the one that needs the handout. We're a country that is strong economically, scientifically, technologically, militarily. It staggers the imagination to think what Eretz Yisrael is today. And maybe above all, and this I can testify to, I learned here in Yeshiva in 1955 and 1956. I saw what the Torah world was, don't know, the Torah little village, small, penurious, poverty-stricken, weak. And you take a look, 50, 55 years later, the awesome explosion of Torah learning in this country is absolutely unbelievable. It's incredible. The Rebbein Shem wants, he wants us here. This is exactly what he wants. This great opportunity that we can do now what our great-grandparents couldn't do. It's available to us all. That presents us with a great challenge. Are we going to join Klal Yisrael in the great adventure of building Eretz Yisrael and fulfilling Ritzon Hashem, God's will? Or are we going to continue to live where we are as though nothing has happened here? Oh, no, no. This is an extremely important decision that people have to make, and now is the time. On a Tisha B'Av, you have to decide. I have a suggestion to make. There's going to be a Siyum HaShas. I was speaking to somebody in Har Nof who's involved in arranging and helping and assisting. He expects something like 90,000 people are going to be at the Siyum HaShas in New York or wherever it's going to be held. That's going to be an awesome demonstration of Torah religious Jewry power. And I have to tell you the truth. As I felt when I saw the pictures of the Asifa that took place a while ago, I look at it, and I'm sure I'm going to feel the same way. I'm going to take a look at it, and I'm going to think to myself, what are all those Jews doing there? Why aren't they in Eretz Yisrael? But I have a suggestion. You know what my suggestion is? This time around, when you start learning Masechta Brachos, be very careful. I'm going to tell you a few gemaras at the beginning of Masechta Brachos that you should stop and take notice. Don't run through the daf. Don't run through the daf. But when you come to the story on Gimel Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Yossi went into a churva to pray, and Eliyahu Zochel HaTov waited outside. At the end of that, Eliyahu says to Rabbi Yossi, Bini, my son, did you hear any voice when you were in there? So he says, yes. Amartilo, I told him, you know what I heard? I heard a voice that moans like a dove and says, Oy labanim, woe to the sons. Sheba'avonoteim hecherafti et beiti, because of their sins, I destroyed my house, v'sarafti et heicholi, and I burned my temple, v'higlitim, and I exiled them lebein umot ha'olam. And I sent them into exile. V'amali, and Elio said to me, I swear to you, not only this hour alone, ela b'chol yom v'yom, every day, three times a day, Jews go into shul and they say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. That voice rings throughout the world. Oiloi labonim, woe to those sons. You know what you have to do when you read this Gemara? You know what you have to say to yourself? You know what? The Rebbein Shem has made it possible now that the exiled sons come home. You can't pass that Gemara without stopping to think about it. Is that the only Gemara? Oh no, it's not the only Gemara over there. I'm going to tell you another Gemara you have to look at. And be very careful when you study it. The Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says, Kedetanya, as we learn, down at the bottom of the Amud, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Konita, it says at the end of the Shira, until you pass over this nation that I acquired, Ad Yavar Amcha, twice it says it, and the Gemara says, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Zu Biarishono, this is the first time Jews came into Eretz Israel, Ad Yavar Amzu Konita, until we pass through again, Zu Biashnia, this is the second time when Jews came in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Mikan Omru Chachamim, from here our rabbi said, Ru'uyim Hoyu Yisrael Le'osis Lehem Nesbi Me'ezra, Jews were worthy that God should make great miracles for them in the day of Ezra, as he did for them in the days of Yoshua bin Nun, Ela Shegorim Hachet, the sin. Sin caused that there were no miracles. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi in the Kuzri says, what was the sin? The sin was they didn't come. Korash gave permission for all Jews to come on Aliyah, and they didn't come. And the divine presence, the Shekhinah, was waiting to descend upon Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. But the majority of Jews remained in Bavel. The immortal words of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, Lo yochlu lihipored mi mishkanoteim v'inyoneim, they were incapable of leaving their businesses and their homes. Are we going to make the same mistake again? It means the Shekhinah, the divine presence, didn't come down on the second Beth HaMikdash because Jews didn't come on Aliyah. There it is. It's Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in Brachas. Are you going to run through it in a 45-minute Daf Yomi? Or are you going to stop and hear what the Gemara is saying? Just a few other Gemaras there at the beginning. This Daf Yomi learning has got to be different from now on and further. The famous Gemara, Hey Amud Aleph. We did Gimel, we did Dalet. We're going to go back to Dalet yet. Hey Amud Aleph, remember this Gemara. Tanya, we learned. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy says, Shalosh Matanos Tovos, three good gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, gave to Yisrael. And all of them were given through toil and suffering. You have to earn it. And what are the three? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy. Shimon ben Yechoy. Daf Hei Amud Aleph in Brachas. And I always wonder to myself, what does Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy think about these fellows who come flying in for 3-4 days for Lag Bayman, make their way to Miran and go back? Wait a minute. Fellas, did you see what I said? I'm Daf Hei Amud Aleph and Brachas. And I have another question. Can you imagine somebody saying, Torah, Rabbi Shem, great gift, but no thank you. It's okay. Olam Haba, great gift. But you know, I can do without it. Eretz Yisrael is on par with Torah and Olam Haba. How can you simply vote with your feet by not coming to Eretz Yisrael? You have to sit on that daf pei Amud Aleph and learn Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Further on, I think it's daf ches Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan is a fascinating question. Ikas sabi be Bavel? There are old people in Bavel. He learns a pasuk leman yibu yimeichem v'mei v'neichem that we say in Shema twice a day at least. Leman yibu yimeichem v'mei v'neichem al adoma. Length of life is only al adoma upon the land that God gave to. So the Gemara says they told him there are people who come early to shul in the morning and they're in shul at night. Then he understood. But Reb Yochanan says there's a pasuk. But maybe the most significant, and here I will end with my Daf Yomi. Why is there no nun in Ashrei, the Gemara says? Why is there no nun in Ashrei? Because the nun of Ashrei represents fall. Falling. And David HaMelech didn't want to write it because Pasuk says, Nafla, the Sulas Yisrael, the Virgin of Israel, has fallen, lo tosif kum, she will not rise again. So therefore, no nun. Despite the fact that there's no nun, there's a samach afterwards, and the samach gives support to the fallen. So mech Hashem lechol hanoflim. God supports the fallers. But the Gemara says, this is the Gemara you fellas have to learn over and over again. B'madrova, in Eretz Yisrael they learn different pshat in the pasuk. In Eretz Yisrael they learn pshat in the pasuk, Nafla lo tosif, she has fallen and she will not fall again. Kum betulat Yisrael, arise. Because in Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael rises, Eretz Yisrael is going to rise and grow from day to day in greater strength. The Gemara here is saying there is no guarantee for any community in the world. No guarantee. Eretz Yisrael, Nafla, after that, Lotosef, she's going to rise. It's a Gemara. Gemara, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. My suggestion to all of you from the very depths of my heart, to make a decision that the next Siyum HaShas is going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. And it's going to take place, hopefully, on Har HaBayis. And during the course of the next 7.5 years, you're all going to start picking yourself up and you're making your way here. Those who are going to be quicker will make it someplace by the end of Masechet Shabbos. Some people may need to wait till Pesachim. There are those who won't make it till the end of Bava Bascha. But you have to make your way here. Somebody told me a number of years ago something that was very painful, but then, in a sense, there was also great truth in it. That Rav Meir Shapiro, before he died, said, and he died a young man, who was in his middle 40s, the founder of Daf Yomi. He said he never regretted a thing that he did in his life except one. That he built the yeshiva in Lublin and not in Yerushalayim. That he built the yeshiva in Lublin and not in Yerushalayim. A few years after it was built, it was already in Nazi hands. You have to put Eretz Yisrael on the agenda of the Orthodox Jewish community. You have to talk about it. You have to encourage it. You have to tell people it's a mitzvah and we have to pick ourselves up and go. Time is running short. There's a great mitzvah to be performed. There's a great act of Ritzon Hashem. This is it. You now have another few years in which to do it. I have a great deal more to say, but I just want to conclude with a paragraph in a letter that was written by Rav Meir Simcha HaKoyen Mitvinsk, the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma. He says the following: from the time that Avraham discovered his creator, all of his hopes were burned up with Eretz HaKedosha Lubonav, that the Holy Land should be that which is given to his sons. He walked through the land, through its length and through its width. He planted an eshel. Afterward, Yitzchak came and he planted and he dug wells. Yaakov built a house in Eretz Yisrael. The peak of their hope was that Boneihan, that their children, Yeshu Be'eretz HaMoriah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov wanted that their children should live in the land of Moriah. Umiyom matam Torasenu HaKadosha, from the day the Torah was given, lo poska ha-nevuah mi-litzavos ha-yishuv ha-aretz. Nevuah never stopped commanding about Yishuv ha-aretz. And there is no parsha Shabbat Torah, he says. Sounds like Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's no parsha in Torah in which Eretz Yisrael is not mentioned. And in all mitzvahs, there's a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeisai, the challenge, the great challenge that you face now, is the challenge of deciding that the time has come, we're going home. Yehi ratzon b'lifnei avinu shamayim, let it be the will of the Rabbeisai, that in Yitz Hashem, you're all going to come here, and the fact that Klal Yisrael in its entirety will be here will bring, therefore, to Binyan Beit HaMikdash and Hashros Hashkina, the Divine Presence coming down of here. But it depends on you people. We're going to remain here. We're going to keep building. We're going to, in Yitz Hashem, turn this great country into a citadel of Torah, into a fortress of our faith, a stronghold of the Spirit, and a great Kiddush Hashem for a whole world. Be well.
Hi, Shalom. My name is Yisrael Krengel. I was born in Johannesburg, in South Africa. I grew up in a traditional family, but when I was 12 years old, my parents sent myself and my older brother for a trip to Israel. And from that first moment when I arrived in this holy land, I felt something special. I felt I belonged. I felt this was certainly the place for me. Even though I'd never been here before, there was something that I felt within me that this was the place for me. I was also involved in Bnei Akiva, in South Africa, and through that I got very connected to the land and to the ideas of the Torah and living in the land of Israel. And through that, I came to learn for a year in Israel, in a yeshiva, Yeshivat Har Etzion. For a year, I came to study, just for a year. But as soon as I arrived, once again, I had this strong feeling that this was the right place for me. And I remember after 6 weeks of being in yeshiva, I turned to my brother, we were on an Eged bus on the way to Yerushalayim, and I said, this is it, I'm going to stay. And he chuckled, he's like, you've been here 6 weeks. I said, no, this is it, I'll stay in yeshiva, I'll become a rabbi, I'll stay in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what I did. And another thing I remember clearly after a few months of being in yeshiva, battling with the language, with the Hebrew, with the Aramaic, with everything for a person who doesn't have any background, trying to cope with being in yeshiva. And I had a really difficult day translating everything, and I turned to my Rebbe and I said, at least my children won't have to go through this, and they will grow up in Israel speaking Hebrew, and that will be their language, and the Torah will be natural for them. And he turned to me and he said, just for that, it's worth to go through what you've been through to realize what you want to pass on to your children. And thank God we've been able to do that. We did go back to South Africa for 3 years. I worked in the community there. But already 9 years we've been back and we're living here and we're so happy to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's a question of what you're looking for. And for us, the quality of life, the focus on the spirituality, the fantastic chinuch for the children, the way our children are growing up, Baruch Hashem, is wonderful. And for us, that's really what is important. When we left after Shlichut 9 years ago, it was in fact Parshat Shlach. It was the Parsha of the Meraglim. And we felt that was very significant. And I often teach my students, there's a very beautiful explanation by the Sfat Emet in the year Tafresh Samach Aleph, 1901, when he gave a sicha sitting in Gur. And he was talking about Eretz Yisrael, and he was talking about the spies and where they went wrong. And he explains that the 10 spies that went wrong, unlike Yoshua and Kalev, failed to see the intrinsic, unique spirituality of Eretz Yisrael, the pnimiut, the inner beauty, the light, the or. But that is a light that we have to bring out. And the Sfat Emet explains that it's a two-way thing, that we help bring the best of Eretz Yisrael out into the open. And in reverse, Eretz Yisrael helps bring out the best within us. And I can honestly say, after being here, Baruch Hashem, for many years, that I really feel that Eretz Yisrael has helped me become a better person. And I hope, in my small way, I've helped Eretz Yisrael become a better place.
Hi, my name is Sarah Krengel. I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. And from that day onward, we moved around quite a bit. My father is a day school principal, and therefore we moved every few years, mostly around the States, Rochester, Kansas, Indiana, just to name a few. And I was determined that I was never going to do that to my children. I was determined that I was going to settle in one place and make that work. Where I didn't know at the time. It's quite interesting how I ended up making Aliyah. My family was always very Zionistic and modern Orthodox, but at the same token, I didn't really ever fully consider Israel as an option to live. I came here for the year, and then I went back and finished college in the States, and that's basically where I was at when I heard about a YU flight that was going on January 15th, 1991, and that exactly is the date when the Gulf War began. I also heard that the flight was $50 a ticket, and thinking that I hadn't been to Israel in several years, I thought, you know what, it's a bargain, I should go. So I decided to try and get on the flight. I had fellow Madrichim advisors that I knew from NCSY who were in YU, and I asked them if they could possibly get me onto the flight. It turned out that everybody had the same idea because the flight was basically, for all practical purposes, for free. And therefore, there was a waiting list of several hundred people, and I think I was somewhere about 360. And this is about a week or two before the flight. And therefore, I put it in the back of my mind, and I was quite certain that I would never get onto the flight. I get a phone call a couple of days before the flight is scheduled to take off, and it's my fellow Madrich, Joshua Poltonson, who's now Yehoshua Paltiel, Rabbi Yehoshua Paltiel. And I said, he says to me, "Well, Sarah, you're on." So I said, "Oh, great." I think to myself, I better call my mother to check if it's all right with her, if I fly into this war. And she says, "You know what, Sarah? Do what you need to do." So I started making all the necessary arrangements, and 2 days before the flight, I discovered that my passport is expired. I thought, okay, that's it. It's over. And a friend of a friend managed to speak to another friend in the passport agency, and suddenly I had a passport within a couple of hours, and I was on the flight, all systems go, and off I was going. None of us really knew what was going to happen at the time with missiles and what have you, but I thought, you know, I'll take my chances. We get to, we finally land in Ben Gurion. Everyone starts dancing and singing, and the Israelis are quite, feel quite emotional, because most people were flying out of the country, definitely not flying into the country for the start of the war, and therefore it kind of gave them a boost in their morale and a sense of support from Chutz La'aretz, from outside of Israel. And therefore we were singing and dancing with all these representatives who came to meet us. Everything was great, until we got to the hotel when they started instructing us how to put on our gas masks, what to do about sealing a room, etc., etc. And that's when all the fun started. The sirens began. We had to run into our sealed rooms, put on our gas masks. And this carried on week after week. The trip was scheduled for 2 weeks. And I ended up staying with my aunt, who, Bliana, has 11 children. And I helped her get all the children into their gas masks and get everyone into the sealed room and put the baby into the crib, the cot that specially was made out of plastic, a special baby gas mask, as it were. And after 2 weeks of this, you get quite used to a routine of hearing a siren, making a run for it, putting on all the gas masks, and that becomes normalcy. Well, then I realized that my ticket was basically coming to an end, and I'd have to go back, whereupon I felt extremely guilty. Here I was, I'm going to leave everybody with the sirens and the gas masks and the missiles falling, and I'm going to go back to my apartment in New York, and no more sirens, no more missiles, etc. So there I am, trying with the travel agent to somehow come up with a way of extending my trip. Whereupon the travel agent and basically all the airlines and everybody kind of laughed at me and said, "Lady, you're crazy. The flights are all fully booked out of here for the next 4 months. Everybody's trying to get out. We'll never be able to get you on a flight until at least June." And this is the end of January, and I think to myself, well, I have a job to get back to. There's no ways I can stay until June. And so I reluctantly packed my bags and got to the airport. It was total mayhem. Everyone was trying to get on flights out of Israel. And there happened to be a BBC reporter who was interviewing all of the people leaving as to why they were fleeing the country, so to speak. And she came to ask me, and she said, "So tell me how you're feeling now that you're finally leaving Israel." And I said to her, "Lady, you got the wrong person. I only came for the war. I'm not leaving because of the war." And she turned to me and she said, "That's all right. Don't feel guilty just because you're leaving your country in its time of need." And here's a non-Jewish blonde BBC reporter giving me mussar, telling me off, as it were, as to why I'm leaving Israel when the country's in need. And I was fuming. I was very angry and very outraged that she had said this to me, of all people. And I was stewing, basically, for a good chunk of the flight home. Until, finally, about halfway through the flight, I realized, actually, she's correct. If I really want to make an impact on Israel and really give to my people and really contribute to the Jewish nation, I'm going to have to do that in Israel alone, because anywhere else isn't the same. And I basically decided right then and there that I was going to make Aliyah, having had no imminent plans of that before. And I packed up my bags and sold my things, and I was on a flight that the end of June, beginning of July of that same year. That is how I ended up making Aliyah. Of course, when I got to Israel, there was a lot of bureaucracy and procedures to go through, but that was all par for the course. There was no nefesh benefesh then, so you automatically expected to have to go through quite a lot of paperwork and bureaucracy. But it really wasn't such a difficult transition. And I met my husband, Rabbi Yisrael Krengel, in Israel. He's from South Africa, so I highly doubt the two of us would have met if I wasn't here and he wasn't here. So all's well that ends well, or so I thought, until he dragged me off to South Africa for 3 years. But basically, my promise to myself and to my children had come to fruition, has come to fruition, in that we live here, thank God, and all of my children were born here. And I really do feel like we are contributing an enormous amount, both to Israeli society and to the Jewish people even outside of Israel, because it's incredible how many how many people you come across. In Israel, from all over the world, we've worked with students from Mexico and Germany, Italy, Sweden, Switzerland, everywhere in Europe, in England, in South Africa, Australia, basically any English-speaking or semi-English-speaking country you can think of. And the international element here is incredible, where you just see Jews from all over the world, something you don't get anywhere else. And more than that, they're connected. They really feel connected. You see kids coming in on birthright who start breaking down and crying at the Kotel, not understanding at all why they are, and not expecting to have that kind of a reaction. It's home. It's definitely home, and it's definitely the place where we're meant to be. Definitely, the Jewish nation is making its way slowly, slowly to Israel, helping to fulfill the prophecy in the end of days when Bezrat Hashem Mashiach comes, and we really will all be here together. And I wish you all the best of success, and just to keep in mind that, yes, whenever you make Aliyah, it's a transition. It's not always easy. But the truth is, we have friends who moved to England, to Australia, to Canada, to all over the world. And any time you move, even if it's down the block, if it's a house you grew up in or whatever it may be, there's always going to be struggle and difficulty with the change. And there's no better place in the world to make the change to, because this is home.
Hi, Shalom Aleichem. This is Yitzchak Krengel. I live in Alon Shvut in Israel. And I was born here, and we lived in Alon Shvut since I was born. Then we went, in the middle, we went to Shlichut for 3 years in South Africa. And we were there. We built a community, and now we actually see that people came from the community and made Aliyah, and then we came back here. We're all one big family. Like I'm on a bus. I help someone. I start talking to him about, even if he's like Chiloni, he starts talking to me about Judaism, and Rav Nachman Breslov says, right, the Meraglim, the spies. And Parashat Shlach said, "Eretz Ochelet Yoshvea." So, what's Eretz Ochelet Yoshvea? A land that eats its habitats. So he says, when we eat, what are we doing to our food? We're taking, let's say a sandwich, and we're making that sandwich into us. It's not like it's not a sandwich anymore. It's not a tomato or whatever. It becomes our blood, and it becomes us. So when we're in Israel, You, the second you come here, you're straight away. You feel you're part of the land. You're part of the spirituality and the holiness of the land. And Rav Kook says, like, the Am Yisrael is the neshama and Eretz Yisrael is the guf. When our body is made specially for our neshama, and Eretz Yisrael is like our body, and we're the neshama, and the neshama can't be in another body. The neshama can only be in its body, specially made for them. And there were so many soldiers and so many people who risked their lives here and died for Eretz Yisrael. Once when they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach if he goes to Davin and Kivrei Tzadikim and holy people's graves, he said, "I don't need to go to holy people's graves. I can just go to Hal Hirzel, where all the soldiers are buried, and whenever I need something, I can go down there. Because there are so many soldiers, and there are so many people who died for Eretz Yisrael. And it's such a holy place. There's still so many people that aren't in Eretz Yisrael, and there's so many, like, hatred about Israel and everything, and all in the news, and everybody's like bashing us up, and zeh." And the pasuk, "Yei shalom bechelech, shalva be'armonotayich." Like, we just come here and you feel peace, and you feel like everybody's helping each other. No matter what happens, you're all one nation, one am. And there's so many thousands of Jews still in Chutz La'aretz, and we really miss them here, and we want them all to come, and we'll show the world what it is to be in peace and to love each other. And we'll all be one big family. And now Hashem is showing us that now it's time to come back. And there's been so many miracles that we're here. And I can't, like, I walk around and I can't believe, like, thousands, millions of Jews were praying, and they wanted to come here, and some came here and risked their lives. And there's so many stories about great rabbis who tried to come here, and then they had to come back, and we're here, and it's our nation, and it's our country, and we are the ones who decide, and it's our Eretz, and we've came back to our home in Eretz Israel, and Hashem is showing us a sign that Bezat Hashem, we'll come here, Mashiach will come, Beit HaMikdash, the whole world will be a much better place. So, good luck, and b'mehira b'yameinu she'ibaneh Beit HaMikdash, we'll see each other dancing in Jerusalem.
Hi, I'm Hadassa Krengel, and I live in a beautiful community in Ramat Shvat. This is my house, Gush Etzion, and everything here is great, and my school, everything's like Torah and Chesed, and everyone's very friendly here. And at the beginning of the year, I just like had my bat mitzvah, and I'm really glad I had the opportunity to celebrate my bat mitzvah in here in the Holy Land in Israel. It's the best place in the world.
You have just finished watching a very unique and I hope inspiring video about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You have heard from several prominent Rabbanim, as well as heard from a very special family in Alon Shvut named the Krengels. You have also seen footage of Yerushalayim as well as Alon Shvut, two of the very many beautiful communities located throughout Eretz Yisrael. I'd also like to recommend some reading material to educate you further, and I hope that you will take the time to read these books and Svarim, and that they will serve as a way to guide you to the right path to take and to come home where all Jews belong. To Dwell in the Palace, Perspectives on Eretz Yisrael, by Tzivia Ehrlich Klein, published by Feldheim. Eim HaBonim Smecha, On Eretz Yisrael, Redemption and Unity, the Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Tachtel. The Three Pillars, Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Torah Yisrael, by Rabbi David Millstone. A Question of Redemption, Can the Modern State of Israel Be the Beginning of the Redemption? Questions and Answers in Halacha. Rise from the Dust, Eretz Yisrael and Halacha and Hashkafa, by Tzvi Glatt.
There is no place like home.
And Eretz Yisrael is the only place to build a true Jewish home.
We're waiting for you to come home.
The Shabbat, 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 the Shabbat,